We are back on CBS Sports Radio, Adam the Bull with you, and Jason Cole is with me from Bleacher Report. Jason, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. That is the strangest bumper music I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Shep, do a better job than that, buddy. I love you,
can we do some Kaiser Chiefs? something with a little pep to it. I don't know.
It felt a little awkward. I was trying to figure out if there was a connection to you. Maybe you were coming home, or I don't know.
It's a pretty song. I don't have a problem with that. It just doesn't fit the format.
It was bizarre. It did feel strange to me. But anyway, Jay-Z, I was just talking about how, you know, football is such a monster in terms of the sports landscape and the way it has grown and grown and grown. And I think because our coverage of it, just sports talk radio, NFL writers, fans, has become so big that I think it's skewed the preseason. And what I mean by that is people get so caught up in a team's record in the preseason. And I think first of all, to me, the record has no value. I'll see if you agree or disagree. And I just think we somebody called this week and said, should the Browns cut Nick Chubb? I mean, after one preseason game, it's like people get nuts on the preseason. It's crazy. It's crazy. Do you think people go too far?
Well, I think that they lose sense of what is the purpose of the activity?
Yes.
In other words, the purpose of the activity is to test how do guys react in game situations, right? Or that's particularly for young guys. For a veteran guy, he may just be going through the motions of, okay, I'm working on this, you know, drop step to set up a block, or I'm working on this, you know, in tandem with this other guy. I want to make sure that we block it up right and do all these things. But we're going out there with a purpose to work on something. Like, I always remember covering spring training one year. This is 20 years ago. And I'm not a baseball writer, but I love baseball. But I didn't understand what was going on in spring training. So I went out and covered a Montreal Expos game way back when. And Pedro was pitching, and Cliff Floyd was playing for the Expos at the time. So Pedro's pitching. And he gets lit up by the Mets one day, right?
Right.
And so I go, and I don't know any better, but I said to Pedro, what happened today? And he goes, well, weren't you watching? I was working on my fastball. I go, look, I'm a football writer. I am just here for the day to pick up a story. And the funny part is, like, Cliff Floyd goes, you cover football? Let's talk. And it's a funny moment where Pedro wants to kind of stare me down a little bit and intimidate me, and then Cliff Floyd's like happy to see me, right? And it became kind of comical, but Pedro had a point, and I didn't get it. Like, he's just trying to test his fastball and get it ready. He doesn't care if he gives up five hits. He just wants to make sure he gets the feel of the pitch. And so, you know, NFL preseason is kind of the same way. Like, you want to test, if you're a young player, do you read this situation correctly? If you throw an interception, why did you throw an interception? Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing to throw an interception. So, like, when Sam Darnold throws an interception at the end of the first half, is there some takeaway lesson out of that where he goes, oh, I didn't realize how quickly the safety can move from point A to point B, and I've either got to deliver that ball a little bit better, hold the safety in place, or not make that throw from now on because it's just not something I can do. You get situations like that all the time. And so I think that people are just looking at wins and losses and productivity because that's what fans do. And they don't understand the bigger overarching thing that coaches and players are doing.
It's a great point. Jason Cole, Bleacher Report. Jason, let's talk about, you mentioned Sam Darnold, and, you know, the way these rookie quarterbacks are being handled is different. We'll leave out Lamar Jackson for now because I don't think anybody was expecting him to have a chance to start right away. But the other four guys, right? Like Sam Darnold
the two Joshes, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
Right, exactly. So like you look at Sam Darnold is like they're really seem to be pushing for him to start. He's starting with the first team. Josh Allen has a chance, but he didn't start the game for Buffalo. Josh Rosen has a chance. He's finally getting some reps with the ones. Baker Mayfield, the first overall pick on a team that hasn't had a quarterback in 20 years. They have Tyrod Taylor. They're not giving him any practice with the one, no reps with the one at all. What do you think about how all these teams are handling their rookie quarterbacks?
Well, again, I say, what is the situation of the teams? Okay, the Jets, you know, they're not a horrendously bad team, but they were definitely going through a rebuild last year to get to the point where you can get a quarterback, right? And, you know, everybody knew what this was about, and they've got the old established veteran quarterback in McCown, who's going to obviously be there for the young quarterback to help set him up. It's, you know, it's Dan Marino and Don Strock all over again, right?
Yeah.
And you see that, and, you know, hopefully for Jets fans, you get that result, okay? That's, you know, that's what they're hoping for. Cleveland's not exactly that same way because Cleveland's in a little different situation. The mental anguish of going 1-31, and in particular 0-16 last year, like, you got to learn how to win again. You got to just learn, like, what are the basic things that you have to do week in and week out to make sure you know how to win games? And if you don't get that back, you might as well fire Hugh Jackson. I mean, you're going to fire Hugh Jackson.
That's right,
and,
yes.
And because the players are going to sit there going, we don't believe anything he says because nothing he says is working. And you undercut his ability. So you have to, I don't know, 3 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins, you know, maybe 6. And that'd be a huge thing for them. And then at the end of the year, you say, okay, now that our team has restored a little bit of confidence and believes a little bit more, now we're going to make the transition to Baker Mayfield, and he'll take us the rest of the way. But if you're asking Baker Mayfield to just come in and not only be good, but to help this team get to, you know, learn how to win again, I mean, I think you're asking a lot of Baker Mayfield, and you're putting a lot of stress on your coaching staff. It's already under tremendous stress.
We think Sam Darnold probably starts week one. What happens with Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, they trade him at some point in time. I mean, you know, and it's not because he's a bad player or anything like that. It's just, you know, this is Sam Darnold's world. You committed these draft picks and this money to him, you know, to see what happens with him over the next 2 or 3 years. And again, you know, I hope it works out because, you know, not just for Jets fans, but for the entire league, because we need quarterbacks. And, you know, we're in the middle of a huge brain drain of quarterbacks in the NFL, of some of the greatest of all time. I mean, you've lost Peyton Manning. You're going to lose, you know, Tom Brady sooner than later, and Drew Brees, and, you know, go on and on. And Ben Roethlisberger's close to the end. All those things. There have to be guys to step up and replace those guys. So you're hoping Darnold's one of them. You hope Mayfield and Rosen and Allen and Jackson and whoever else is in there. And so, you hope that those guys are ready to step in and do it right away. But with Bridgewater, to take it back to your original question, like, he doesn't have a real shot here to play unless there's a catastrophe. And that's not his fault.
Right.
But you trade him for something and give him a chance because he looks like he's on the complete road to recovery.
With the injury to A.J. McCarron last night, do you think now Josh Allen starts, or do you think they end up going with Peterman in the beginning?
I don't know about that because, you know, Allen's got a lot of stuff to work on. His game is the most raw of those, of all these five first-round quarterbacks. He's Nikola Lush, right? And you're trying to figure out, does he have the, I mean, he's got the arm, right? Like, he can throw a ball through a wall. But does he have all the other things that go with it? And in particular, I mean, the most important one by far is accuracy. I mean, I remember sitting down with Belichick one time. He made me wait 11 hours to sit down with him one day. That's a whole story unto itself. But after making me wait, we were talking about it. I go, you know, look, guys talk about arm strength. He goes, you better be accurate and you better make good decisions. If you can't do that, nothing else matters. And he's right. So with Josh Allen, you know, there's an accuracy issue there, and you have to know if he's going to be able to overcome that, or is he going to become Kyle Bowler?
Yeah, well, that's a huge difference, obviously. Jason Cole from Bleacher Report. Jason, how did the Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald situations end up working out? What do you think?
They get paid.
Both of them.
Well, this is just like, you know, rewind the dial to Darrell Revis in 2010, right? The whole, what was the name of the diner? That they went to.
I can't remember.
17.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
It's off Route 17. It's the, I'll remember it before we
hear
the story. But look, the Jets were coming off
Roscoe Diner. The Roscoe Diner.
There we go.
Yeah.
you got a good production staff.
Yeah.
So the Roscoe Diner, and the Jets are coming off the 2009 appearance in the AFC Championship game with Mark Sanchez as the rookie quarterback. And, you know, Rex is talking all sorts of trash. And Revis says, pay me. You know, pay me. And the team's like, well, we're trying to win. We're trying to win. He's like, that's cool. I want to win too. Pay me.
Yeah.
And he just sat there for 36 days, right?
Yep.
And at the end of 36 days, it seems like we're trying to win. We better pay him. They're going to pay him.
Right.
You know, Aaron Donald, the Rams went to the playoffs last year. They geared up this offseason with getting, you know, Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and Ndamukong Suh and Brandon Cooks. And they paid Todd Gurley. You better be ready to pay your best player.
Jason, give me a couple of teams. Every year we have a couple of surprise teams that make the playoffs, certainly Jacksonville, Buffalo last year. Give me a couple of teams you think could be surprise playoff teams this year.
Well, I think the Giants. I mean, I don't know how New York is reacting to the Giants right now. Is there expectation in New York that they're going to make a run because of Barkley and Odell's happy, or are people sitting there going, this is still a transition to?
I don't think there's expectation. I don't think there's playoff expectation right now, no.
Yeah, but I think there's playoffs in that team.
Yeah.
I really do, because they were 2 years ago. And yeah, they probably won a couple more games 2 years ago than they really should have. I think they lost a couple more games than they really should have last year because of the implosion of the team and, you know, and mostly the injuries. Like, it's hard to be that banged up 2 years in a row. It's not impossible, but it's hard. So, when you start your offense with Barkley and Odell, and you've got still got a decent quarterback to go with that, and Eli, I like them. Let me think about another team that doesn't have a lot of expectations. You know, I'd love to pick Tampa because I keep thinking they're going to come around. The problem is that division is so brutal with the other three teams in it. It's hard for me to see them jumping through all of them. Let me think. You know, I'll go with Denver. You know, probably people aren't thinking much about Denver right now, but I think that Case Keenum is a better quarterback than we really think. A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have told you. I wouldn't have thought twice about Case Keenum. I would have thought, you know, okay, cool backup. But he proved some stuff last year. And I think that's going to be really critically important. And that defense, you start off with Von Miller, and you've got Bradley Roby and Chris Harris. I know Roby hasn't played that great in camp so far, but he's still talented. And you got Wolf and some of the other guys that they have. I just think that they were a lot.
Right.
They're not as far off as people think.
I agree, Jason. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining me.